Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, but somehow you will believe. You will when you believe. You're listening live from Turtle Island right now. This is Soul Class, class number 352, A Tale of Two Light Bulbs, part one. And of course, we know this is Turtle Island, aka the USA, unifying souls actually. We plan to pluck inspirations from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Mittler Rebbe, direct descendant of King David and Solomon. The subject will engage the human mind to consider various levels of awareness as it relates to two light bulbs. Well, tune in and stay tuned in and check out the teaching as it relates to any person who may or may not believe he or she has a divine image to empower them to better understand Torah teachings, biblical teachings. Meanwhile, may the Most High Creator bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. But in order to continue on with the shoe and to bring our co-host, we're going to have to lower the music from When You Believe by those blessed young men, the Maccabees, singing a cappella. You're not hearing any musical instruments. The only instrument you're hearing is the blessings of their mouth and five articulate organs. So let's go down and start with the shoe. Oh, sorry, Maccabees. You guys got it where it has to be from your soul and heart and mindful expressions. Joining me today is co-host, and unfortunately, his comments were cut off, as my comments were cut off last Sunday, because we had someone who played with the wiring feeding into our internet connection soul class this past Sunday, May 11th. Dennis Ryan, Torah activist for the dissemination of the teachings of Rambam, Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon, Maimonides. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
Well, I'm actually feeling good because it's nice to be restored back to the order that we like to have, meaning our internet connection works, our telephone works, because obviously I'm speaking through these two inventions of modernity, and hopefully we're going to share with individuals an aroma of consciousness that maybe they want to accept, Dennis, maybe they don't, but hopefully it will arouse them to consider a matter, just as I learned something this morning, Dennis. I want to share it with you and your blessed souls out there. And as well, I want to mention to everyone that Dennis and I are not the final authoritative opinion. We are two individuals who love scripture and we love to learn about all these wonders of this world, whether it be in science, mathematics, or English, but primarily from a biblical perspective we love to embrace. And we are not speaking on behalf of any organizations, rather as two human beings wishing to share our experiences learning the scripture and from the oral Torah traditions for those who want to learn more about it. Dennis, what I learned this morning is a comparative type of reasoning that was brought down by actually the father of the Mittler, Rebbe Rav Shneur Liadi, and he made the following analogy. The earth is to be considered like a mustard seed in relation to the width of the, if we would perceive the world as a ball, as a kador, and therefore, as large as this world is, it's merely a mustard seed compared to only the width of the universe. If we look, see it as a ovular, you know, an ovular type, an oval type of shape, and the same thing too with a human desire, let's say a positive human desire to godliness, it itself is only a mustard seed in relation to what God, the Almighty Creator, has planned for us to do to make this place a better, more sustainable environment, namely the earth, which we as humans, as stewards of the earth, should try to implement, hopefully in a peaceful and pleasant manner. So I'd like you to think about that, though, the analogy of the world, of this world to the greater universe, and our personal desires, even for godliness, how it's just a mustard seed compared to God's plan for us to make this a better world.
Well, analogies are good, but we must remember behind this particular one is a great deal of humility. If we don't understand our position in the universe, how are we going to understand where we should be or where we're going? In other words, we are a speck on the horizon. A speck. That's all we are. But some people think we're bigger than that or we're bigger than life. We aren't. We must understand where the humility is. And even though our universe seems like the earth, our earth is still a speck somewhere. So we are such insignificant creatures that we must remember that we're trying to make the grade or a name for ourselves in a very, very small world, because we are really insignificant compared to God. So God, who controls everything, is the one who sets up the relationships. And we try to use human terms to explain that relationship in an analogy, like you're talking about the mustard seed. We are. But we are, to me, we are even smaller than the mustard seed. Mustard seed. Why? Because we must have humility. Without the humility, we don't know where our place is in the world and in life.
True. And our humility, which, as you say, is even smaller than the mustard seed, when planted in the fertile soil of God's blessings, which awaits our humility to be planted in that type of fertile soil, should give forth proper produce of life-sustaining attitudes and actions and speech and empowerment of other human beings, hopefully in a way that's either performed through random or pre-planned acts of kindness, as we talked about in previous programs with fellow co-host Kartral Gore. With that being said, blessed souls, I'd like to go on to plucking out from a teaching from Parshas Truma. This is one of the Torah portions in the book of Exodus. And We were talking about this a couple months ago, but then there was a break in our broadcasting, and we're resuming. So maybe those of you who followed the broadcast in late February and March might remember some of this concept, but it's okay to review, because I'll tell you the truth, I never mind reviewing every breath that I take, meaning I don't take it for granted. So even though we're reviewing something perhaps that you're aware of, blessed souls, it's okay if we review, because maybe at this particular time on May 15th, 2014, it might inspire you to go a little bit deeper into your meditations, into the nature of Hashem's creation according to divine instruction. So now I propose to you, blessed souls, the following scenario to hopefully make more concrete the idea, called in Hebrew the muskal, of something called Sovev Kol Alamin, which is a level of godliness which encompasses all of the creation. And there's not really a vessel that can contain this level of godliness, but it's accessible to all, even though all are not really conscious of this accessibility to that level of godliness which encompasses all. Okay, so now here's the scenario. Consider there is a light bulb company called the Sunshine Light Bulb Company. I don't think there's such a company called that. We're just using it for allegorical purposes. Now, Sunshine Light Bulb Company has created two product lines of light bulbs, and those two light bulbs are primarily can be inserted or screwed into the same light fixture wherever you need light in your house, or your business office, or wherever you may be, or your garage. Light bulb number one, its glass covering is transparent, and one can clearly view the igniting and the continual projection of light based upon the filament that's lit up inside the light bulb, which your eye can observe. And it's a 60-watt light bulb, let's say. Now, light bulb number two, which is produced by Sunshine Light Bulb Company, is also a 60-light bulb. However, its glass covering is grassy green. Therefore, one can't view the filament ignited and projecting the brightness. Rather, one is seeing a color tone of grassy green projected through the grassy green glass cover. Now, this company, Sunshine Light Bulb, has created two product lines. Again, the clear glass covering and the greeny grass covering. So it's simply understood that the light bulb design, because since both light bulbs are 60 watts in terms of the filament capacity, has the ability to receive an energy which is the same for each light bulb, either for each one to work. The only difference is the glass cover. Now, with that being said, the capacity for both 60-watt light bulbs is the same. Again, we're just reviewing in terms of how much electricity they receive from the same source. All the differences and similarities just described, that level of energy, which is called mamalika amin, which is the light which fills all the creation, meaning both light bulbs, in order to work effectively, to perform their job, so to speak, to light up the environment those light bulbs were screwed in, is alluding to a prophetic verse in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 24, where the prophet is told to instruct the human family experience, quote, "Do I not fill the heaven and earth?" And the "I" here, blessed souls, is referred to in the verse I just quoted in Jeremiah 23:24, is Hashem, the Almighty Creator. So getting back to the allegorical light bulb, blessed souls, how do we access the concept of Sovak Amin? Again, this idea of godliness, which encompasses every fiber of creation, but every fiber of creation is not really truly conscious of the fact it's getting irradiated or illuminated or empowered or created by this higher level of godliness. Well, plain and simple, if we go back to the source of those two light bulbs on the human level, again, we're talking about the Sunshine Light Bulb Company, is actually something which encompasses the product available, the clear glass-colored light bulb and the green, grassy green-covered light bulb. And that name of the Sunshine Light Bulb Company also connects to the conceptualization, the production, and the distribution of the light bulbs. And when the light bulbs are being used actively, the company's name appears on the glass surface, of each light bulb, each type of light bulb. Yet one has to look closely and sometimes to notice directly the name of the company printed on the light bulb, because one is more involved in enjoying the benefits of the light coming out of those two different types of light bulbs. And it could be that those two types of light bulbs are covered by a lampshade, or you might have to climb a ladder to see the name of the company on the light bulb. But whether you climb on the ladder to see the name of the company on the light bulb or take off the shade that's covering the light bulb, the company's name remains imprinted upon the light bulb, the two types of light bulbs, as it's inserted into a ceiling fixture or a light or a lamp. However, when one sees the name of the light bulb company while the light is illuminating, and again, whether or not the light bulb is being used and illuminating or whether the light has been shut off, the name of that company still remains on that light bulb when you've left the room and you've shut off the light. So whether one thinks about the light bulb capacity to provide light or the light bulb's company name, the light bulb company's name remains the same and is still imprinted on that light bulb, despite the fact we are no longer in the room or in proximity to that light bulb. Now, this type of allegory of the name of the company encompassing on the outer aspect of the light bulb glass cover is associated with another prophetic teaching in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 23, quote, "Am I a God only from nearby, declares Hashem," which means God, "and not a God from afar? Either way, creator is creator if you can accept this understanding of God as well." So then it's my question to you is it within the realm of possibility that more people can come to understand that we can go into some sort of critical analysis to see the hand of God in the creation that we observe. But at the same time, we have to be humbled by the fact that whether we observe it or not, God's hand is upon the creation equally for every fiber of creation.
God created us all equal, but what he also did instill in us is to have the capability to maximize our relationship with him. However, not everybody wants to maximize it. Different people want to treat it on different levels, so that even though you may say the light that's shining through a cover of a bulb doesn't work the same way, it's because people are different, and we cannot get everybody to maximize what they're capable of. What we try to do is say that they can always do more, they should question, they should learn. But to maximize everybody's capability that was instilled by them, by our Creator at creation and recreation, is to say that we could reach the highest level of human endeavor. We may never be able to get there. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we should stop trying to get there, but we must understand that if you had two seeds of the same type of tree and you gave them the same amount of sunlight in the same soil, do you really expect them to be identical when they grow up, when they sprout up? We don't know. We have to see what happens, because some seeds and their offspring react differently to the environment and to other things that are external forces. So therefore, with all these things going on, we can maximize our relationship with God because we have the capability. But if you don't try, what good is the capability?
True. So Dennis, in other words, you and I, say, in particular, are, so to speak, two particles in motion. We feel a certain inspiration. We feel a certain guidance. We sense a certain hand of the Almighty upon us as two individuals smaller than the smallest mustard seeds. And so we are not deterred by the fact that not everyone is interested in looking at a greater picture, which might be right under their nose, it might right before their eyes. But the fact that at least we can dialogue, we are discharging at some level our responsibility to share with others. There's more than one way to allegorically skin the fish.
Well, we can always remind people that they have the capability of doing better. But do they want? In other words, this comes down to human motivation. Mm-hmm. Are they motivated? Well, if they don't think about it, they may never be motivated. We try to tickle their thinking so that they can find it somewhere in their motivation, because we humans are sentient beings and we feel things. We feel spiritual things. Sometimes we don't want to recognize it. God has an impact on us, and if we don't turn the light on, we may not be able to see it, but we certainly can feel it. But based on the feelings, we need people to react.
Right. And even if the light we turn on is not from the Sunshine Light Bulb Company. So
we don't place our faith in labels. We place our faith in our belief.
Sure. So we're going to turn to our final section today, is Humble Efforts, Blessed Souls. So if we want to, we can reflect upon an encompassing light, an Or Makif, that's related to a level of godliness which is way beyond our consciousness, yet it has been shared with us through various sages of Torah teachings that such a light does exist, which really shouldn't be too hard. I mean, I have no problem accepting the fact that as much as I'm conscious, that the next human being sitting right next to me could be more conscious of things I never even thought existed. So how much more so when it talks about the encompassing light of godliness, which illuminates equally all facets of this creation, and yet has been identified by teachings like this in Chassidus, remains aloof from being particularized according to the object it illuminates. Now, in contrast, we have a type of godliness called Or Panimi, a inner type of light, which in contrast will illuminate and tangibly enliven all aspects of creation according to each created entity's capacity to receive such internalized forms of light or godliness. For instance, the amount of energy that we can receive is certainly not the same amount of energy that an amoeba, a one-celled created entity could receive. It would blow it apart to pieces. It would, there would be no trace of it if the soul energy that goes into a human being was to be injected directly into an amoeba. So when we consider these two dimensions of light in today's humble efforts, the idea of mamalika am and godliness, which fills the vessel and enlivens the vessel, just as our soul is an example of mamalika amin, the light that fills all the worlds because each body is a mini world, and the level of sovika amin, which is the level of godliness, which we are not tangibly able to sense, but we are being told that such an expression of godly consciousness or godliness exists. Each dimension gives expression to a quality of essentiality, namely the essential quality from the qualities of mamalika amin, the light that fills all the worlds, is elicited actually ultimately from that encompassing level, sovika amin, namely the capacity to provide essential vitality, whether the created entity that is receiving that essential vitality is aware of it or not. Now, these two dimensions of essential vitality can be better understood via a verse in Psalms chapter 84, verse 12, as it reads as follows. For a sun and a shield is Creator-God, the two names, Hebrew names of God, are mentioned here in that verse in Psalms 84:12. One name meaning the Creator is the source of all judgment, measurement, and limitation. And the other name, the Creator is also simultaneously the source of all mercies and kindness and love. For a sun and shield is Creator Lord. Grace and glory does Creator bestow. He does not withhold goodness from those who walk in innocence, otherwise known as sincerity. Dennis, your take on this matter that we are not just being energized by the energy we are aware of, but we are being energized by an essential godliness, which we're still not able to quantify as we can quantify the energy that gives us the palpable heartbeat that we can feel when we put our hand on our chest.
We may never be able to quantify it, but mm-hmm. we can do some qualification on a human relationship. God is the source of all illumination. Whether it's the daytime, the sun, or the nighttime, the moon, there's illumination there. And we must remember, when you open your eyes and you see the illumination around, you must be aware that His presence is there. You may not feel it, you may not see it, but your human form will recognize that there's illumination. You must question that. It wasn't just invented because it was needed. It's by God's plan or design. So wake up and see the light.
Amen. And you mentioned something about opening the eyes, Dennis. I want to conclude today's program, first of all, by thanking you for spending some of your valuable time today, because your time is really your most valuable human asset, the time we have on this living earth with the soul in your body and your body being a wonderful vessel for your luminous soul, Dennis. I want to thank you very much for that. And blessings, I want to mention to you as well that Lubavitcher said over 22 years ago that we need to open our eyes to see that everything is prepared for the redemption. Now, people might say, wait a minute, how can it be? Conflict in Africa, conflict in the Middle East, conflict in America, conflict in South America. Yes, that's going on. But there is a greater reality, which perhaps that idea of opening your eyes to see that everything is prepared for universal redemption is also relating to this idea of this encompassing energy, which is waiting for us to draw it down through our acts of kindness. And as well, we can be empowered by the fact, how can we have the power to do these acts of kindness? Well, we can turn to the prophet Jeremiah, which I think is a fitting way to end this and hopefully future shows. As it says in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 11, 12, and 13, for I know the thoughts that I am thinking of you, the word of God, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You will then call out to me and follow me. You will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all your hearts. Dennis, before we segue to our show's ending song, Shemal's a cappella, Psalms 121, any last words of advice for our blessed souls audience out there?
Love everybody.
Amen. So with that being said, blessed souls, we're going to end off with a Havachad, one love, Goralachad, one destiny, Kulano. Bedarchi Nom, Darchi Shom, and a pleasant, peaceful. Remember, you've got to be good because the Tevatov Lehetiv, it's the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator put you in the world. And I know it might be tough to do good at times, but here's a song to empower you as well from King David, Psalms 121, a song for a sense. I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come from? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your coming, your going out, and your coming in from now and to eternity. To be continued, Lahamshich. Stay well, everyone.
מאין יבוא עזרי, עזרי מאיב השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן לבות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום, ינום ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומרך, השם צירך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם.
השם ישמור צאתך ובואך.